You'll only see the power of God when people get on one accord so that the electricity of the anointing can flow right down your row, right through your church, right through your fellowship, right through your ministry. There's no breakage in the flow of the power of God. And so God's serious about this stuff. So you have to make sure your horizontal relationships are well managed.
If a brother or sister in Christ sins against you, how should you respond? Find out next on this Monday edition of Destined for Victory. Hello and thanks for stopping by. Well, the Bible has a step-by-step, easy-to-follow guideline about what to do when a fellow believer in Christ has done you harm. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 18, and today Pastor Paul Shepherd takes you there. As you follow along, pay special attention to this timeless truth from God's Word. Your relationship life can have a profound effect on your prayer life. If you're short on time today and can't stay with us, visit PastorPaul.net later to hear any recent Destined for Victory message, including the one you're about to hear right now entitled Prayer Matters. Here's Pastor Paul Shepherd.
Do not talk to other people about your offender when you haven't talked to your offender about him or herself. That's what Jesus said. And if they hear you, you've gained them. It goes on to say, if they won't hear you, then find one or two others that by the mouth of two or three, every witness will be established. What does that mean? So I already have tried to talk to you and you don't hear me, but we need to get this together because I'm offended and I'm trying to work this through so that you don't hinder my relationship with God. So I go find one or two others so that there are now three people who are trying to tell you the same thing. You get it? Go find two or three. Now, don't go find your two best friends. Oh, I'm trying to help you. First of all, they aren't interested in your witnesses being your buddies. If you're trying to get the offender to understand, go find one or two objective people who they can trust. Go find a leader, somebody who doesn't have a personal relationship with you, but perhaps a spiritual relationship with both of you. Go find somebody who is in love with neither one of you, but they do want to see the truth prevail and they want to see the will of God done in both of your lives. And that's why if you can't find anybody else, go to your leaders and say, hey, would you sit with me? I'm trying to get something reconciled, get something worked through. And find somebody who is trustworthy. And make sure that they are the witness. And then they can hear the two of you and they can give some counsel. And it goes on to say that even if that doesn't work, take them to the church. What is he trying to say? He's saying, do whatever you have to do because we have to walk with one another. We can't have these disjointed, dysfunctional things going on in church and see the power of God come. Power of God will not fall where you got junk that's undealt with. You'll only see the power of God when people get on one accord so that the electricity of the anointing can flow right down your row, right through your church, right through your fellowship, right through your ministry. There's no breakage in the flow of the power of God. And so God's serious about this stuff. So you have to make sure your horizontal relationships are well managed. And just a quick word, I won't turn to this, but let me just say, in 1 Peter 3, husbands, you're told, make sure you're in sync with your wife if you want God to hear your prayers. That your prayers be not hindered is the language that Peter uses. You got to make sure you're dwelling with your wife according to knowledge, and that to the best of your ability, you are in sync. Now y'all going to have disagreements and all that, but agree however you can so that there's no spiritual breakage. If you can't pray with your spouse, something's wrong. And you need to figure out what it is and get it straight. Because God's not trying to hear y'all praying separately and you can't come together and pray. That just came. That's not in my notes. If you need that, take that. Don't try to be a spiritual wonder at church and not speaking at home. Don't come in here talking about praise the Lord, God bless you. giving people words of knowledge and encouragement and all this stuff. One more reference. Let me take you to the Old Testament, which is what's referred to here in James 5. After he tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous avails much. By the way, the righteous, please understand, our righteousness comes from our standing in Christ. My righteousness is first positional, and then it becomes experiential. You are a sinner first by nature and then by nurture. We're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. So we're sinners first by nature. But when we grow up, as we're growing up, we start learning to practice sin. So you're a sinner by nature, then by nurture. How are you righteous? First by nature. He imputes his righteousness to me. I'm first positionally righteous, and then he teaches me. That's what your walk is about, learning how to live in righteousness. Because God is not trying to have you be one of these saints who glibly sins on a regular basis. Well, you know, God forgives. Yeah, we know he forgives, but you're not supposed to be giving him something different to forgive every day. No, that's presuming upon the grace of God. Remember, grace, I talk about it often. Grace has two aspects to it. One is it is that unmerited favor. We love talking about the unmerited favor. That is grace. God gives you favor and you don't even deserve it. Yes, thank God for that grace. But according to Titus 2, grace also has another function. That is teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, some folk don't want that part of grace. I just want him to keep on blessing my mess. Not going to do it. And so you have to learn that righteousness is first by position and then by experience. First by nature and then by nurture. If you're not nurturing righteousness in your life, you have a right to question whether you even know the Lord. The proof that you know him is that you cannot live in sin without conviction. And so he says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous, that's you if you're truly in Christ, it avails much. And then look at verse 17 of James 5. Let me wrap up this message with that. Then I'll get on to some other aspects of prayer in the coming messages. Verse 17, James 5. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years. And 6 months. What's he referencing? He's referencing 1 Kings 17. I won't turn to it in the interest of time. Let me just talk you through it. God sends Elijah to a king of God's people who is so out of order. Number one, because he married the wrong sister. Ahab married a sister called Jezebel. You who don't even read your Bible, you know that's a problem. Because if you haven't read Jezebel in your Bible, you heard Jezebel enough to know that that's not a positive thing when somebody is referred to as a Jezebel. Well, here's the king of God's people married to the Jezebel. Instead of being the king he's supposed to be, a king of righteousness, a king that honors God and obeys his word, instead of that, he has married this sister who is really running things. He might be the king, but she's in charge. You ever seen a marriage like that? Not yours, but there are marriages like that. He can call himself whatever he wants, head of the home, all that, whatever. Just knock yourself or call yourself whatever you are. I heard one sister say, well, if he the head, I'm the neck. I turn it where I need it to go. Jezebel was the neck. She's leading God's people in idolatry. And Ahab's letting it happen. He's bought into her stuff, letting it happen. God sees from heaven, and he will always respond. And in 1 Kings 17, God sends Elijah to Ahab and tell him, listen, you're leading people into disobedience. God is sick of it, so he's judging the land because of your sin, because of the sin you're leading the people into, so there will be no rain or dew for 3.5 years. See, when a true prophet speaks, he's not trying to make something happen. He's just saying, here's what thus saith the Lord. And it dried up for 3.5 years. You know the story. Then the Lord sends him by the brook and he drinks by the brook. God has ravens feed him because this is during a drought now. And so the prophet is eating and he's sitting there by the brook and he hangs out there for quite a while. But eventually the brook dries up. I came to tell you, if your brook dries up, don't panic until you remind yourself that I serve the same God of Elijah. And just because a brook dries up doesn't mean he's not going to take care of me. God will do whatever he has to do to take care of me. And so you got to believe God in a drought.
Coming up next, the rest of Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Prayer Matters, on this Monday edition of Destined for Victory. As you may know, Destined for Victory is a listener-supported ministry, and we want to thank all of you who have supported us with your prayers and donations over the years. And those prayers and gifts are needed as we launch into a brand new year of ministry together. When you give, be sure to request this month's special offer, a great new resource from Pastor Paul called Building a Beneficial Prayer Life. Remember, to hear any of Pastor Paul's recent messages, including the one you're listening to today, visit PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. The program is also available on demand and on the go through our free mobile app, where you can shop our online store or make a donation to the ministry. You can also take notes on the sermon you're hearing. That's the Destined for Victory mobile app. Search Destined for Victory in your app store. From the miraculous to the mundane, God's mercy never fails. It is new every morning. Here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's Destined for Victory message, Prayer Matters.
And one day, the brook's drying up, and he said, wow, okay, this is getting a little... And then finally it goes to mud. He said, I can't drink here anymore. And that same day, the ravens stopped flying in. And you know how Elijah would have had to feel. Hey, man, they're raving a little late today. All it meant is God is shifting your resource. And he's, okay, Lord, what does this mean? Raven's not here, brook's dry, but you sent me here. And I'm looking to you. God said, all right, get up, go to Zarephath. There's a widow there, and I've commanded her. First, I commanded ravens to feed you. Now they're off that assignment. I've now commanded a widow to feed you. Why? Because she's got to get a blessing, and she can only get her blessing through obedience. So he sends her. I don't have time to walk you through that. Read 1 Kings 17 when you get a chance. And here's the man of God saying, feed me first. Here's a widow, got a son to feed in the midst of a severe famine. And the man talking about, feed me first. Now, y'all know if a preacher show up at your place, you hardly got enough for yourself. And preacher, Pastor Paul, Pastor Troy show up talking about, hook me up. You'd be like, the devil is a liar. Great big old robust man come busting up in my house. You need to go somewhere and get your... No, that was a word from God. That wasn't a word of selfishness. That was God testing her obedience. And she passed the test. Fed the man of God. The Lord supernaturally provided. When your brook dries up, don't worry, because God will supernaturally provide. Just make sure you are doing what he's told you to do, and he will get you through your tough time. Now, that's chapter 17. But then the Lord, after the 3.5 year period, the Lord sends Elijah now back to Ahab to say, okay, now what you got to say, now that you've seen what God will do if you don't get in the center of his will. Long story short, there has to be a showdown between Elijah, the prophet of God, and the false prophets of Baal that Ahab and Jezebel have been connected with all this time. And God says, all right, it's time for me to show up. Prophet, go and call him out. And he called him out. Read 1 Kings 18 when you get a chance. I mean, he was cocky under the anointing. Downright cocky. He called him up on the mountain, says, time we cut out all this stuff. If God is God, we're going to serve him. If Baal is God, we're going to serve him. So we're going to have a showdown right here, right now, and see who's God. And he told the prophets of Baal, y'all, prepare the altar. We're going to have a sacrifice by fire. We're going to call on our gods, and whoever answers by fire, that's the God that we are to serve. And you know the story if you've read it. They prepared the altar and the sacrifice and all that, and they start calling on their false god. And Elijah, he's so anointed, he's cocky. When there's no answer, he said, y'all not calling loud enough. He must be in another room. Y'all better call real loud. He must be on a vacation. I mean, just cocky under the anointing. After a while, the false prophets were so desperate, the Bible says they start cutting themselves, trying to make their God answer. And when there was no answer, and they all bleeding, then Elijah said, all right, now it's my time with my God. And he said, now the sacrifice is here, but that's too easy. He said, pour water, buckets and buckets of water. If God's going to answer by fire, let's give him some water to have to deal with. Man, he was under the anointing, all of that. And they finally drenched it. There's this little moat of water around the sacrifice, all of this. And he calls on the God of heaven and earth. God answered by fire, burned up the sacrifice, licked up all the water. And then he said to Israel, now don't let those false prophets escape. Get them and kill them. Why? Because in that day before Christ, the only way to deal with sin was to destroy the sinner. You better be glad you're under grace. Now, here's why I'm pointing this out. James said he's a man just like us. With all that anointing of chapter 18, go to 1 Kings 19. Jezebel has heard that the prophets are slain. She heard about what happened on the top of the mountain. And she said, may the gods do to me and even worse if by this time tomorrow, Elijah is not dead. She put out a contract on a prophet. Now, you would think with all that anointing that he had the day before, all that calling down fire, all that, you would think if you operate under that kind of anointing and you get word that Jezebel put out a contract on you, you would think he would say, you better tell her unless she plan to be burnt up. She better leave me alone. And the hitmen who show up, they better leave me alone. That's what you would think if he's operating that kind of anointing. You would think he's just drunk with spiritual power. Instead, he heard, there's a contract I got on you. He said, all right, thank you for letting me know. My man took off. Read it when you get a chance. He ran for his life. How do you run for your life operating in that kind of anointing? It's called being human. And sometimes we just don't understand that your personal way of viewing things can change and fluctuate circumstantially. God's not done with you just because sometimes your humanity gets in the way. See, sometimes some of you all think you give yourself a grade depending on how blessed you think you are, how anointed you think you are, how obedient you've been. And you got to understand, yes, God calls us to obedience. Yes, God calls us to walk in faith. But there are times when you are walking in strong faith, and there are times when you are struggling in weak faith. There are times when you can believe God for crazy miracles. And there are other times when you say, Lord, please help me just to get through another day. I know what it's like to operate under the anointing one day. And before too long, you're saying like Elijah said. When you read 1 Kings 19, that man ended up saying, tell you what, Lord, I'm going to go to sleep. Do me a favor. Don't let me wake up here. I'm going to go to sleep. Just take me on into your presence. And when he woke up, he said, oh, man. I've been there. Lord, come on, let's just be done with this. God said, you're not in charge. I'm in charge. You can't take yourself off duty. I'm your commanding officer. I'm the only one that can take you off duty. And so what the Lord did was, he said, tell you what, look over there. He looked over there and there was food. He's in the wilderness now. And he looks over and he sees hot bread and cold water. God hooking him up. And God said, eat, because I'm about to send you on a journey and you're going to need the strength. You who are trying to get God to cooperate with your plans, please understand he has no interest in your plans. He's interested in his plan. His plan for your life is what matters. And so you got to learn to walk in obedience. Quit trying to get God to give you a grace pack for the next year of your life. There is no grace anointing that will last a year. His comes in daily increments. Give us this day our daily bread. Mercy is available morning by morning. I've often said, when you're up late at night talking about I can't make it another day, go to sleep. I've been there. Lord, I can't do this. Go to sleep. All that means is you ran out of that day's grace. That's all that means. I run out of grace and mercy for the day. Do yourself a favor, tell all the folk in your house, my mercy and grace have run out. I need all y'all to understand it's run out for the day. I was good at 6 p.m., 7 p.m., but now I got no more. Y'all don't want to push up on me now. Do yourself a favor. Go somewhere and watch TV, read a book, pray and fast, do whatever you got to do. Leave me alone.
You know, when you get right down to it, God has us here for no other reason than to worship Him and to share His gospel with the lost. That's why the Destined for Victory ministry exists, because Pastor Paul Shepherd wants to introduce as many as he can to Jesus Christ, the only name by which we can be saved. But he can't do it alone. It takes people like you, men and women from all walks of life who are committed to praying for the ministry and offering financial support when you can. With that in mind, Pastor Paul would like to once again invite you to partner with him by pledging a monthly gift of $20 or more. We rely on your generous giving not only to share the gospel all over the world, but to keep these messages coming your way year-round. As our way of saying thanks for becoming a Destined for Victory partner, we'll send you one of Pastor Paul's most popular CDs, Let My People Smile, Volume 9. The Let My People Smile series has been a favorite for years, combining Pastor Paul's insightful teaching with some of his most humorous stories and anecdotes, and Volume 9 is the latest in the series. You'll also receive a journal and pen set, perfect for daily devotional use or for keeping a personal diary of what God is doing in the life of you and your family. So call 855-339-5500 to make your pledge over the phone. Or mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Again, the address is Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. You can also sign up from our website, pastorpaul.net. No matter how you contact us, be sure to ask for this month's special offer, Building a Beneficial Prayer Life, yours by request for your gift of any size. In this booklet from Pastor Paul Shepherd, you'll discover why prayer is so crucial in the life of a believer, and you'll learn how to develop the kind of prayer life you've always wanted.
Come on, somebody. Got a wonderful relationship. Everything's going. Y'all clicking on all cylinders. You pray. Y'all sick of one another. You still pray. And that's what you want to learn to do. Be a person who prays all the time, because God is ready to manifest His glory in your life. And so you need to develop an effective prayer life.
That's tomorrow in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Foundations for Effective Prayer. Until then, remember, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.